back to health care now. So to support your health, you take a yoga class. I bet some of you do, with a dozen other people. Maybe you do some healthy exercise in a group with a trainer urging you on and your fellow classmates keeping up your morale. Maybe you even compare your stamina to the slightly chubbier person there in front of you.
Let's begin with a great warm-up. Take a deep breath in, bring in that oxygen, and let out any stress you may have. Another deep breath for energy.
Well, what if this group idea that works in so many healthy endeavors was applied to a routine doctor checkup? The doctor, more like a trainer, examining patients in a group, leading a group discussion of symptoms, sharing advice on treatment, and staying on track toward personal health goals, huh? Well, in the changing healthcare industry, this model is becoming attractive to some doctors and patients. Aside from the efficiency of treating patients in a group, there are other subtler advantages to group thinking the traditional doctor visit. Today, 13% of medical practices, in fact, have the option of group doctor visits. Dr. Alexander Kuo is among them. He's a professor of medicine and director of hepatology at the University of California, San Diego. He uses the group visit method with his transplant patients at the UC San Diego clinic. Doctor, welcome.
Hello, good to be with you.
So first of all, just separate the population of transplant patients from people going in for more routine checkups. I mean, is there something about the transplant experience that lends itself to the group? And is it not really applicable to, say, me going into my regular checkup?
Sure. You know, when I started this about a year ago, I really wanted to focus on patients with advanced liver disease. And so these are patients that have cirrhosis who are either on the waiting list for transplant or they're considering being placed on the waiting list for transplant. And what I found was that these patients really had a lack of information. And the standard 20-minute one-on-one doctor visit with me just wasn't enough for these patients. They needed more time with me. I needed more time to educate them. And this was an attractive option.
And I've seen group activity benefit cardiac transplant patients, actually in New York at the Mount Sinai Transplant Clinic. But how would this work if people are coming in for more routine examinations, do you think?
Well, I think this can really work for any medical condition. We've chosen to focus this on patients with advanced liver disease. But in any situation where patients are really eager to get more information and more time with their doctor, this system can work. In general, I think it works best if you can group patients together with similar diagnoses. And so when they're there in the group, you know, not only are they learning from the doctor's one-on-one interaction with them, but they're learning by listening to the questions that other patients in the group have. They might have thought of questions that that you might have not even thought about yourself.
And what are some of the limitations here? I mean, obviously, you're not doing boys and girls together. And I mean, I just describe to me what the limits are as you see them.
Sure, sure. So one misconception is that you know, everybody's sitting together in a circle in a hospital exam gown. That's not the case in my situation. And so the patients are fully clothed. I will do targeted physical exams in the group setting. And so listening to breathing, palpate the abdomen, examine the legs for a swelling, edema. But I don't disrobe the patients. If patients need more focused, more extensive physical exams, I wait until after the group session is over and I take them to a standard private examination room for that. And so, you know, there is that concern about embarrassment in front of other people if you're going to be examined. But you know, patients are fully clothed.
And it's your experience that patients take to this group thing and actually, you know, cease being embarrassed or uncomfortable about something that would normally be a very private one-on-one experience.
You know, they do. It's not for everybody, I would say that. If you're extremely bashful, if you're somewhat of a wallflower, it might not be your cup of tea. On the other hand, if you're very domineering, if you tend to sort of dominate every conversation and not let anybody have a word edgewise, that's not really fair to the other patients, and that might not be the best situation for you as well. But those are really the extremes. For the most part, I would say 80 to 90% of patients in my practice would be really appropriate for this type of a group visit.
All right. Well, as some of your patients or patients considering this might be inclined to do. We consulted a lawyer to figure out what the questions would be here regarding privacy issues. Here's a comment and a question and an issue actually raised by Robbie M.A. Sufi, a lawyer talking about medical privacy. Listen.
Whether it's HIPAA or state laws, the rules and regulations that govern how patient health information is supposed to be maintained are very strict. The problem in a group setting is that those same rules that govern how patient health information is supposed to be stored and transmitted and maintained do not apply to individuals. They apply to healthcare providers.
So is that a limitation for you to do something that actually seems to make some good sense?
Well, first off, this is optional for my patients. I'm not forcing them to participate in this. For me, this is a value added. Instead of a 20-minute visit, they get a 90-minute visit with me. The patients have the option to bring one guest. Both patients and their guests have to sign privacy waivers stating that everything discussed at that group visit will remain confidential. And so if patients enjoy that visit, they can elect to go back to the standard one-on-one interaction with me.
And we're talking with Dr. Alexander Kuo, who's a professor of medicine and director of hepatology at the University of California, San Diego, who uses group visit methods for some of the patients in his practice. I can see the efficiencies for you getting maximum time with patients, but public health doctors often describe that the health is improved if people can think of health in community settings, in groups, in family-wide or neighborhood-wide settings. Do you think this contributes to that at all?
Absolutely. The feedback I get from patients often is that, they feel like they're part of a community, that they don't feel alone. When you're diagnosed with advanced liver disease, it can really feel isolating. It's scary to be told that you have cirrhosis and you need a liver transplant. And by bringing patients with similar problems together, they really feel empowered. And so I do feel that sense of community helps with their healing.
Great. Thanks so much. Dr. Alexander Kuo is a professor of medicine and director of hepatology at the University of California, San Diego. Thanks, doctor.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.